tonight, and we'll eventually get there. It'll take me a few minutes to get there, but we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, and just have your finger there, and we'll get there. But tonight, we want to continue our series on If My People. Praise God. Happy to know we're learning prayer is a very important subject. Pastor Debbie talked for a number of months on the corporate prayer side and intercession and those types of things. And now I'm talking about a few other things concerning prayer. And actually, we're currently looking at what can be called prayer killers. Amen. And so I'm calling them prayer killers because they're things that will either discourage or stop us from praying. How many know the devil wants us to be discouraged about our prayer life? He wants to not only discourage us of that or keep us from praying, but he also wants these prayer killers in our life so they keep our prayers from being answered. How many know it's God's will to know how to pray effectively? And so tonight's message is the third message in the prayer killers, and it's going to be the prayer killer of unforgiveness. But before we get there, let's do a quick review. It won't hurt us. The first prayer killer we talked about is actually misunderstanding faith. In other words, misunderstanding what faith is and how it comes. Having to know that faith in its simplest form is just simply taking God at His word. Amen. And without knowing how it comes, in which it comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If we have this simple, basic misunderstanding of what faith is and how it comes, our prayers would be ineffective because prayer isn't just a wishing and a hoping. We get answers to prayer. Amen. It is learning to pray God's word. How many know that's how we get answers to prayer? Learning to pray God's word and knowing He hears and answers. It is actually believing you receive what you're praying for when you pray. That should not be a novel thought to believers. We should know that when we pray, we should believe that we receive what we ask for. It's settled because it's based upon God's word, and He promised that if we would ask according to His will, He hears us. And so we're not hoping, wishing, maybe so. We should know that our faith is to positively take what God promised in His word, and we receive by faith those promises when we pray. We don't believe after they show up, because if you don't believe that you receive when you pray, they won't show up. Come on. And so we need to understand those things. We talk specifically about those in the first prayer killer. Then last week we talked about the second prayer killer that was condemnation, and how condemnation is faith's kryptonite because it actually works to rob, weaken, or kill our faith. And so condemnation, we found, it's certainly a strategy of the enemy. You can write this down. They're not going to put it up. But Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 tells us the devil uses condemnation against us, and because it identifies him as the accuser of the brethren. Amen. And he knows this. If he can get and keep us condemned about our past, about our mistakes, about any sin, it would make it impossible for us to pray effectively, because with a condemned heart, we do not have confidence before God. This is one of the dangers of sin. Sin is dangerous because it robs a relationship with God, but it makes it nearly impossible for us to have confidence before God. And it's a confidence before God that we receive everything God has for us. It's called faith. So Satan's ploy is to always for us to be mindful of all the things that we don't do right, instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Write these verses down. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 says that we're to look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We're to consider Him. and not ourselves. And so it's important that we understand this. The enemy is working to get you to always nitpick at everything in your life, to look at everything that isn't right, that you've done wrong. But when we learn to look unto, keep our eyes on, to consider Jesus and what He's done to provide our freedom and our victory, then we'll not walk in condemnation, but faith in Jesus Christ. We left last week saying, and I'll say this very briefly and quickly, we must know that Jesus was judged and sentenced for and with our sins. For and with our sins, so that we're no longer condemned before God, but instead we can have confidence and boldness in prayer. Amen. And so with that being said, tonight we're right up to where we need to be, talking about the third prayer killer, and that is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Tonight, we're not only going to explore the dangers of unforgiveness, but what forgiveness really is and how and why we can forgive those who have wronged us. There's probably no one in here tonight, except Pastor Debbie, that has never been wronged in life before. Now, I'm just playing. Praise the Lord. And I say that jokingly because she lives with me. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so the truth is, there's no one that at some time in their life has experienced the hurt and the damage of sharp words, harsh actions, being critical, all the different things that could hurt us and cause that type of pain. And so this is why we need to talk about those things. So in Matthew chapter 6, I ask you to turn to, Jesus taught the necessity of forgiveness in connection with effective and answered prayer. And what we know as the Lord's Prayer, forgiveness is mentioned in three verses. Just think about that. What we grew up calling the Lord's Prayer is forgiveness is addressed in three of those verses. So what we want to do is look and read together in verse 12, 14, and 15. Let's look there. It says, and Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. Remember, in the Gospels, Jesus said, his disciples came to him and said, you know, John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Would you teach us how to pray? Well, in the Lord's Prayer, he's mentioned forgiveness. Must be a pretty big deal because he talks about it three times. He says, and forgive us as debts as we forgive our debtors. Then in 14 and 15, it says, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Wow. Praise God. We have to forgive others in order to be forgiven by God. Is that simple? Amen. Now, you can write this down for time's sake. I chose not to go there tonight. But these verses in the Amplified Translation, one thing that I love about the Amplified Translation, if you want to know what a definition many times of a word is, you find it in revealed in the Amplified Translation. In these verses define to forgive or forgive as leaving, remitting, to let go of the debts, or have given up resentment against your debtor, the one that is sinning against you. Praise God. So I'll say that again. It defines forgive or to forgive as leaving, remitting, to let go of the debt, and have given up resentment against the debtor or the one actually sinning against you. Now, the good news is that we can do that, but we have to know what we're to do and how, and this is what we're talking about. So one of the things that I've said for a number of years, prayer is way more than body position. It is really, effective prayer is really about heart condition. And it's not what that man sees that counts, is what God sees. See, unforgiveness stinks in the sight of God. There's a lot of things that, you know, anything that sin would actually stink in the sight of God. That doesn't mean He thinks we stink. He loves us, but He knows those things not only separate us from Him and can hurt our relationship, but actually work to steal, kill, and destroy in our life. They'll kill us. Sin kills us. It's a killer. Amen. And so unforgiveness being a sin is really God sees. Man sees what man does. Man sees what man does outwardly. He cannot tell necessarily about what's in the heart, but God sees the heart. And so this is why effective prayer is really about our heart condition. And so it's easy just, if we just looked at these verses alone in Matthew 6 on the Lord's Prayer, it would be enough alone to understand that unforgiveness would be a prayer killer. But let's look at a few others. And so in Luke chapter 17, let's turn there, and we see the topic of forgiveness here was an obstacle with the disciples that they dealt with in their life. How many know if you dealt with it, they deal with it? Or you could say it like this: if the disciples that walked with Jesus dealt with it, you're going to deal with it. And it was a pretty big deal, because as we read here in Luke 17, beginning with verse 3, it says, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him." Verse 4, it says, "And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him." And then verse 5, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." Wow. Praise God. So in other words, we kind of can laugh about that, but it was a big deal to them. They saw Jesus do miracles, and never once did they say increase our faith. But when he started talking about forgiveness, they looked at him and said, "You have to increase our faith on this one." Praise God. Now, when you think about the time that they're living in with the Roman government and all that was going on, I mean, Christians were being, you know, all the different types of persecution, and from then and onward, especially after Christ's resurrection. But we see the persecution that a believer would face, the things of the oppression of the Roman government alone would have been enough for them to say, "Wait a minute, I've got to forgive." Jesus said, "You know what? If the Roman soldier asked you to go a mile, go too." And no wonder they said, "Increase that faith." But it had to do with faith and forgiveness. And so this is important that we understand that this was an area that if it tripped his disciples up, then we shouldn't find it hard that it trips many people up today. I say the reason why many people have a problem with forgiveness, or they're bound by unforgiveness, is because until you understand what the Scripture teaches about this, the damage it does, and how you, if you have this misconception that by you're actually somehow hurting the other person by not forgiving them, then we are going down the wrong road. It's like drinking poison and expecting to kill somebody else. This is what unforgiveness is about. And I really believe that when the Scriptures are taught and taught clearly, then the Spirit of God can work in people's heart and frees them from those types of things. And you know what? You're not responsible for how everybody responds to you, but you are responsible how you respond back to others, even ugly people. Praise the Lord. Anybody know any ugly people? I mean, they were ugly to you. Praise the Lord. And we've all probably been in that boat. And so we wouldn't want to give it again. And so we need to learn how to overcome those things. Next, let's look at Matthew 11. And this is the great, what we would call, we normally look at Matthew 11, 22, 23, and 24. Tonight we're going to expand it a couple more verses. And when we read this, what we find is we normally talk about, we know that Jesus had cursed the fig tree. And in cursing the fig tree, his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, Master, how did you do that?" And you know, Jesus didn't turn and say, "Don't try this at home, you may blow your head off." He didn't say, "This is a deity trick, never try this because it won't work." He didn't say that. He actually taught them how he actually cursed the fig tree and it died up from the roots. He began by saying, follow with me, have faith in God. What other translation says, have the God kind of faith. Amen. And so then he tells us what the God kind of faith looks like. He said, verse 23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things whatsoever he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. But, you know, that's usually where we stop because we talk about faith. But Jesus didn't stop there. Verse 25, he goes on and says, and when you stand praying, because he just talked about praying in verse 24, he talked about saying in verse 23, and he talked about faith in God in verse 23, and all of it that he's talking about is linked back to our faith in God, including verse 25, when he says, when you stand praying, forgive. Everybody say forgive. If you have aught against any. If you have a problem against any. If you have trouble here against any. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26 says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. So Jesus tells us, here's what we need to understand. Notice how Jesus first and foremost connected faith with forgiveness. And so if we go through these verses, Jesus in verse 22 and 23 tells us how faith works. It works by believing and saying. Faith is always in two places. It's got to be in your heart and in your mouth. It is wonderful that we understand the power of confession. But the power of confession is a contingent upon it being believed on in the heart. And so we must believe what the Word says in our heart, and then we release it with our mouth. Jesus here is telling us in verse 22 and 23 how faith works, believing and saying. And now notice in verse 24 how prayer works. You ask and you believe you receive. And then in verse 25 and 26, Jesus warns us about the prayer killer of unforgiveness because it simply robs us of our faith. Again, notice in these verses, Jesus connected faith with forgiveness. He connected faith with forgiveness too. Not just saying to your mountain, not just using your faith, not just praying, but also forgiveness. You know why? Because the truth is, it takes faith to say, it takes faith to pray, and yes, it takes faith to forgive. And you better understand it, and you better learn it quickly. And we are to forgive by faith. I'm going to say it like this, faith, forgiveness is not a feeling. Your body will not always want to forgive or be kind, no more than it will always want to pray, read the Bible, or go to church. We got one, come on. Praise God, but it's true anyway. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a choice. It is obedience to God's command, His Word, and is a part of exercising faith in God. Remember, He said, have the God kind of faith or have faith in God. It is part of having the God kind of faith. How do we know that? Because when Jesus hung on the cross, write this verse down, in Luke 23, 30 and 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, Jesus even though he was 100% God, he was 100% man. And he had feelings just like you and I did. He had to forgive them as the Son of Man. And he set an example. Don't think he felt like going to the cross. Don't think like he felt like saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Don't think that he did this and as the Son of God and we can't do it. He did it as the Son of Man. He was the Son of God, but he did it as the Son of Man. His humanity, although he was 100% God, he's 100% man. An example to us, he showed us how we are to respond as well. We also say, you know, for the people that would say, well, you know, that's easy. That's, he was God, so he could do that. Well, how about Stephen? Stephen in Acts 7, verse 60, the first martyr of the church said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Amen. So we have to forgive by faith. And once again, it is not a feeling, because you won't always feel like forgiving. It is a choice. It is obedience to God and is part of exercising a faith in God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, where it says, be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Kind to one another, tenderhearted. Amen. So a lot of times people want to give you a piece of their mind. God would appreciate that if you're his child, you give them a piece of your heart. And hopefully you put the right stuff in your heart. Well, the truth is, whether you know it or not, what you're going to find in just a moment, the right stuff is in your heart. You just have to learn that it's there and draw it out. If you're a child of God, the right stuff is there. Now, you can put some wrong stuff in, and that can override. How many know if you look and hear and talk about the wrong stuff all the time, that Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so that's why a lot of times the wrong stuff comes out, because the wrong stuff is in. But nonetheless, if you find out what the Scripture says, that what's been deposited in you, which we're going to talk about in just a moment, that it will really, if we live from that place, it'll be easy for us to forgive. We're to forgive, the truth is, because we can forgive. I'm going to tell you again, we can forgive. The reason why we can is we are to forgive because we can. Because forgiveness is in our new love nature. Romans, write it down, Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Didn't say it was shed abroad in your head, it's shed abroad in your heart. So when we have been recreated in Christ Jesus, new creatures in Christ, that love nature was imparted into us, the same identical nature of Christ. Amen. And so when we have that, we realize by renewing our mind with the Scripture, wait one minute, the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Why isn't that coming out? I'll tell you why it's not coming out. Because you're not renewing your mind with the Word of God and giving place to that. You have to renew your mind to what the Scripture says, that who you are, your identity, what you possess, your inheritance, and what you can do, how you can live because you're in Christ. Once your mind's renewed to that, a renewed mind isn't renewed, listen, just by knowing or quoting a Scripture. It's renewed when you know it and do it. That's when your mind is renewed. A lot of times people say, well, I know that. But, well, it's wonderful that we know it. That's where it begins. We have to renew our mind. We have to change our way of thinking for God's way of thinking. Let me give you a story. It comes to me now that Brother Hagin told about a person that he was ministering to. And he was ministering in the pastor's, this pastor's church, him and his, he ate a meal with them one night after the service. And Brother Hagin said, the wife of the pastor told him, he says, well, you really messed me up tonight. Told Brother Hagin one of them, said, I need to ask you something. You really messed me up tonight. He says, well, no, I didn't mess you up. I just, you were already messed up. I just showed up and told you something that just revealed that. He was honest with her. He says, well, what's your question? We said, tonight, you made a comment that if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Well, we're not going to turn there, but in 1 John, it talks about if you hate your brother in Christ, it's the same as being a murderer. And he says, well, I sure did say that. And he says, well, what's the problem with that? She says, well, I hate my mother-in-law. Woo. I hate my mother-in-law. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I love mine. Praise the Lord. And Brother Hagin just got her a little bit deeper into the problem before he got her out of it. And he just, you know, he says, well, that just means that you ain't saved yet. And she says, well, that you're a murderer and you're a murderer and you have no eternal life about inside in you. So it must mean you're not saved. And she said, wait one minute. I know I'm saved. I know Jesus is my Lord of my life. Well, good. I'm glad you acknowledged that. That's good. Let me tell you what your problem is. Now, look at me and say, I hate my mother-in-law. And the same time you do it, look down on the inside. She says, I hate my mother-in-law. He says, what do you feel down there? Something ain't right. Something's stirring. Something just ain't right there. Well, that's your heart telling you that's wrong. Because you're saying that out of the hurt that you have. But you know your own spirit is convicting you, is telling what your spirit is telling you, that's not right. You really don't hate your mother-in-law. Some things that happen that you don't like, and that's put a wedge in there. But as a believer, it's impossible for that to be. Now, you could hate her in the head, but what he's trying to understand, get her to understand, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And if you live out of your heart, it's impossible for you to live and act that way on a consistent basis. Now, you could live that way out of your head, but she had. But he had to get her deeper into the problem until he got her out. But so what do I do? Well, say it out of your mouth. I don't hate my mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law. And you're going to have to practice that. So he gave her some pointers and said he came back and they actually had he was had extended meetings there. And one of those nights, for one of the meals after the service, the mother-in-law was invited. And she pulled Brother Hagin aside at one of those nights and said, you know what? You're right. I really don't hate my mother-in-law. She's a sweet woman. And so you have to understand your head can give you problems sometimes when your heart knows differently. But it's not until you get the light of God's word that shows up the answer that's already there. And so when we teach from the scripture, notice Jesus said, be kind to one another. It means you can be. Because Jesus would never ask us as believers to do something that was impossible or were unable to do. Always remember that. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as, here it is, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Amen. So forgiveness is in our new nature. Now I want to get to this part about for Christ's sake, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You know, we've all been done wrong or hurt by others, but Jesus commands us to forgive, to let it go, to let it drop. In other words, the offense of it, the hurt of it, to let it go, let it drop, give up the resentment. That doesn't mean that when you forgive the person that you're saying it was okay and what they did to you. But you forgive them just as Jesus Christ forgave you. They may not deserve it, but neither did we. Neither did we deserve to be forgiven by Jesus Christ. So if we want to be forgiven, we must forgive others. It's that simple. Remember again, it's not agreeing that what they did was all right to you. That's not what you're saying when you forgive them. But you are not taking the bait. You're not taking the offense. You're not taking the unforgiveness. You're not allowing that to defile you, because it will cause, as Hebrews chapter 12 say, to spring up a root of bitterness, and not just defile you, but defile many others. Let me just tell you something. Secondhand offense and unforgiveness is possibly more damning and damaging than firsthand, because I've just seen it over and over again in the 40 years I've been saved. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. We must come to know and understand forgiveness is for our benefit. Because if you stay in unforgiveness, the devil's going to eat your lunch. People, all kind of people, have health conditions based upon unforgiveness, unresolved hurt, anger, hatred in their hearts towards others. Their prayers are hindered, just what Satan wants, and they complain about God. Satan's ultimate goal is get them to turn their back on God, or to say, well, this ain't working, God ain't real, and all those kind of things. Well, with bitterness, with unforgiveness and those things in our heart, then our prayers aren't going to be working. This is why we're talking about the prayer killer of unforgiveness. We must come to know and understand forgiveness is for our benefit. Not only for us to be forgiven by God, listen, but for our faith to work right and for our prayers to be answered. We all want our faith to work right. We all want our prayers to be answered. And we should all want to be forgiven. Then we have to forgive others. It's that simple. Brother Hagin taught us, he says, if my faith wasn't working and my prayers not being answered, the first place I will look at was unforgiveness. Because Jesus taught that, what we talked to Mark 11, 25 and 26, in connection with prayer and faith. He said, if my faith wasn't working right and my prayers not being answered, he said, the first place I'd look for is unforgiveness, because that's the first place that Jesus taught us to look. We are only hurting ourselves if we live in unforgiveness and harbor offense and hate in our hearts. No amount of unforgiveness is justified. No amount of offense is justified. That doesn't mean you're going to necessarily run up and embrace everybody, but you can forgive them. In other words, what I'm saying is this. If a person has done you wrong and they ask you to forgive, Jesus said forgive. Now, if they've done you wrong and you forgive them, you know what? You've done your part. Everybody may not return that favor. And then, I'm not saying you build up a wall, but you don't let that dog bite you twice. But that doesn't mean you take back the forgiveness. You make sure your heart is stayed clear. And I think one of the dangers while I'm here, let me just mention this real quick. One of the dangers that the devil plays and tricks people, that you really have forgiven people, but he brings up time to time. When you hear a message like this, I wonder if I really forgave that person. Don't let the devil trick you and make you think that if you've repented of it and got it right with God, then it's taken care of. Come on. Don't let the devil bring that up. Don't let the devil win and make you feel like, well, you know what? This is why all the things are going wrong. Shut the door on the devil. Amen. Praise God. We are only hurting ourselves if we live in unforgiveness and harbor offense and hate in our hearts. We're also opening, here's the danger as well, we're also opening the door to the devil. And this is why forgiveness is so vital in both walking close to God and keeping the devil out of our lives. We all want the devil to keep out of our lives, don't we? don't we? Let's turn to Matthew. We'll close with this tonight. Matthew chapter 18, please. Matthew chapter 18. It's quiet in this full gospel church tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, we're going to begin with verse 21. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee. No, if we go back to 20, let's just go back for a moment to 21. That's what I was supposed to be. And Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother that sinned against me? Shall I forgive him till seven times? See, he thought he was setting the world on fire. Woo! And Jesus said, I say not unto thee seven times, but until 70 times seven. Woo! Glory to God. In other words, just like God gives you unlimited forgiveness, we to give others unlimited forgiveness. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Now let's keep on reading this. Then Jesus said, and for this reason, therefore, in verse 23, that means for this reason is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now this is a parable that Jesus teaching, which means, the word parable just means to throw along downside of. Literally, that's what it means. It means that Jesus is illustrating a spiritual truth through natural means. He's telling a story to illustrate it. So this person who actually forgave the person that could not afford to ever really get free of that debt is the Father God. That's the way the Father treats us. How many know that if it wasn't for his forgiveness, we couldn't pay for? How many know Jesus went to the cross and paid for our debt, the one that we could not pay? And here's what it said. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion because he asked, and loosed him and forgave or canceled the debt. Now you would think that that servant would have been so happy and so thankful that the Lord, or he was forgiven that debt, that it would change his life. But notice what it began to teach us. Jesus said, and then the Lord of that servant was moved compassion, of course, I said, and loosed him, forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, the one that was just forgiven, and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hand on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, I owe you, wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired it of me. Should not thou also have had compassion or showed mercy on your fellow servant, even as I had pity or forgiveness on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors until he could pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts, forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. You know, there are several things that, you know, that the scripture talks about being wicked. How many know that unbelief here, unforgiveness, is wicked? We see different things that the scripture teaches us that are abhorring in God's sight. Verse 32, I forgave thee all the debt because you desired me, verse 33, should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee? Now notice, here's the real kicker. And then it said, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Who's the tormentors? Well, in this case, it's handed over to the devil. You know, you and I, when we are unwilling to forgive from our hearts. See, our problem is many times is not if we get confused between our head and our heart. Our heads give us a lot of problems. And so does that flesh. But if we renew our mind with the Word of God and understand the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, and we can forgive from our hearts and not let our heads talk us out of it, not allow what that person did and the devil to paint the picture over and over again, those words repeat it, and let it play. Let's say, oh yeah, they deserve. I'm not going to forgive them. As a matter of fact, I'll go down the other side of the street before I say hi to them. I've had to tell people before, oh, so you got a new Lord. What do you mean by that? Well, a lot of times people, they get so mad, a person done them wrong. Okay, did them wrong. They say, well, you know what? I'm not coming back to church because that person in church did me wrong. You know, I did work for them. They didn't pay. Well, that's wrong. That would be wrong, okay? But you're supposed to go to them and work that out. Okay, now there are other steps, but let me just say like this. I've had to tell people like this, not just on cases like this, but the person say, well, you know what? They go to that church. I'm not going to go. I say, oh, okay. So, but you just told me in the several sentences before that God told you to be in this church. Didn't you tell me that? Yeah. Well, did he change his mind? No, I don't think so. But I'm not going to go because I say, oh, you got a new Lord then. What do you mean a new Lord? That person's your Lord because you are basing your actions upon what they have done instead of what the Lord has said. And you know what? Every time I've said that, it was what a person needed to hear because they realized, ooh, I didn't see it like that. Well, that's because sin is blinding. That's because unforgiveness is blinding. That's because when you talk out of your head instead of your heart, then we get in trouble. So notice here that what the scripture teaches. Now, what we have to understand is we're opening the door to the devil when we are in unforgiveness. This is why it's not only a prayer killer, but it's a life killer. And this is why forgiveness is so vital with both us walking close with God and keeping the devil out of our lives. Verse 27 of Matthew 18 in the Amplified Version says, and his master's heart was moved with compassion, and he released him and forgave him, canceling the debt. See, this tells us what forgiveness is. When you really forgive a person, you don't keep bringing that up. Matter of fact, you never bring it up. It's gone. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. It doesn't exist anymore. And you've canceled it. I mean, as far as you're concerned, it no longer exists. They don't have to. Once they've repented, once they said, you know, forgive me, then you don't expect anything else. It's just as if it would have been, if you ask God to forgive you, it's just as if you never sinned. That's the way it has to be. Well, Pastor Chris, increase our faith. I get it. But it's when we renew our minds to the Word of God and we see here, when Jesus said, and his Lord was wroth and delivered them to the tormentors, what he's telling us, until we walk in forgiveness, we open the door to the devil. When we're in unforgiveness, the tormentors that we're delivered unto is the devil. And he is the one that is having place and weighing our life. I submit to you tonight, the truth is our revelation of God's love and forgiveness to us is key for us to freely forgive others. I'm going to say that again. This is so important. Our revelation of God's love for us, to us and for us, And His forgiveness to us is the key for us to freely forgive others. Because I know that's a fact. I know what changed my life when I understood that God loved me in spite of my past. Because I knew me better than anybody else. See, when I said I did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things, I did a lot of bad things. Now, I might not have killed a person, but I look back at my life and I don't need to go there because they no longer exist. I can say it with confidence that God spared me. He spared me. My life could have took a, and like many of you, could have taken a total different direction. When I understood what God did for me and forgave me and how much He loved me, that it never became a doubt to me to look at somebody else and say, wow, if God could love me that way, He loves them that way. Amen. And that changed how I looked at every person. Yeah. Because I knew that if He could love me the way He said in His Word, He's loving them that way. And I, who am I to look down? Who am I to judge them on something that other than what God would want? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to do a message here sometime in the near future about judging. Because everybody, you know, they were living. You can't judge me. You're going to have to judge something. You got to know what right or wrong is. But I'm talking about you don't look down on people. You look at what God has done for you and understand He did it for them the same way. And that changes everything. Let me give you a story in closing tonight. We got like 1 minute. So who give me a few moments to tell this story? Years ago, I figured up today, this has been over 30 years ago. Pastor Devin and I have been saved for 40 years. And this happened about 30 years ago. We were back in we moved out of the storefront, built the little church down the road, which was very nice. We had moved in. I remember a Sunday morning. There was a visitor that showed up that came. That morning, that visitor sat in the very back bench. It was a young lady. Pastor Debbie and I were serving that day. We're always serving somewhere. Pastor Debbie and I were always serving somewhere. We were serving that Sunday. Pastor Debbie went to her. She was sitting by herself on the back bench, went to her and began to talk to her. She was first time. She could tell that she had some problems, but she came to the right place. She came to church. She came to a church. She's going to hear the truth. Well, during praise and worship, it was a wonderful time. But we noticed during when praise and worship was over, we turned around and looked, and she had left out. The good news is Pastor Debbie had somehow got her contact information. And the good news is we contacted her. And she was gracious enough to invite us to her home. So we went. And so this 30 years ago, she was younger than we were. I'm not going to go through everything, but I began to share with her about Jesus Christ. And when I shared with her about Jesus Christ, this is probably the only first time I've ever heard this happen, and the last time I've ever heard it happen. But I'm sure it will happen again. She looked at me, and after I shared our testimony, shared the gospel with her, she says, no, you don't understand. She got pretty straightforward with me. She says, no, you don't understand. I can't do what you're asking me to do because I want to kill people. That's what she said. She said, no, you don't understand. I want to kill people. And so the good news is I didn't act like that bothered me. I didn't let that blow me out of the water. And so I'm not going to go into the whole story, but I turned it around and shared enough that she got to the point that she really understood that Jesus did love her. And she actually received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Genuinely received Him and His forgiveness. Okay? So immediately start coming to church. Growing, and I'll forget one afternoon after we had gotten off work, we received a phone call, and it was her, and she was crying, boo-hooing, crying, and she said, I just got off my tractor cutting grass. And she said, my lawnmower, I had to call and tell y'all this. Well, she hadn't, well, what we didn't actually know everything about, she says, I was, and God showed me the great love and forgiveness that He has for me. And she says, I forgave my family member for what they had done to her. And it was really a crime. We won't go into all that. She was boo-hooing because she was so free. She says, you don't understand, I'm free. And I saw God's love and forgiveness for me, and I knew that He really loved my granddad as well. And I forgave him. And I am free. Forgiveness is freedom. No longer the tormentor. Forgive from your heart. Your head can give you problems. You'll have to deal with your head. But if you understand the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, if you train yourself every day to wake up in the morning, sometime in the morning, and if you work second shift, let that be whatever your morning is. You work third shift, let the weather be. But you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's not a day in my life that I don't quote 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. I can say it King James Version, say it in the Amplified Version. Matter of fact, I say it in both versions, or I say it in the New American Standard Bible, because that's how I first learned it 30-some years ago. And now, it's right here on a card that we gave you. Remember what love is, that when we did the Love God series years ago, here's the Amplified Version of it right here. I wake up every morning, some point in the morning, and say, Chris and David Morgan has the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. We have your love, Father, that is patient, that is kind, that is not jealous, and go through it all. If you have to open it and read it, that's fine. But you need to, there you go, brother, there you go. Amen, right there, he's got it right there. Thank you, brother. So, say that. You know, that's what's going to become real to you. Because you'll get it down in your heart. You'll get it down in your heart. It'll go from your head. Don't be worried about it. It's only in your head right now. Or it's not real. But as you get it in your heart and you begin to practice that love. You know, and this is one reason why the local church is so powerful, because this is a good place to practice that. Because there's a lot of lovely people. There may be a few unlovely. And some people may consider you being the unlovely one. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? We can laugh about that. But the truth is, it's a great place to practice. And you know, it's a safe place. It should be. Safe house to be able to do those things. And as we practice those things and encourage one another, forgive and do those things. Matter of fact, you're going to have you're going to pass up many marvelous opportunities to walk in unforgiveness in a local church. Because sure enough, you'll have a baby and they'll get bit in the nursery, even though we got great nursery workers. Someone will get your seat on a Sunday, even though we got hundreds of seats in here. Someone would got the parking spot that you wanted, even though we got plenty of parking. Praise God. You know, sometimes the praise and worship is loud and that was not your preference, so they didn't play the song that you liked, or someone came by you, don't they know they're supposed to take a bath before they come to church? They had a little odor or something. Listen, church, we're gonna have all kinds, because they're creations of God. And every person is at a different place. Yes, we should have personal hygiene, but you know what? Let me tell you one more story before I go. This is what love does. Love does confront stuff. We had a brother that him and his family came to this church, and man, you talk to his breath would knock you out. serious. But he got saved, turned on for God. I mean, you got anywhere, and woo, boy. So, Pastor Doug, and there was some other stuff going on over Perth. I'm not talking about the first week he came. I'm talking about this is a couple years after he's been coming. And enough's enough. So we're trying to take person from where they're at to where God wants them to be. Pastor Doug and I met with that brother and said, look, we love you. We built him up. Said, look how you've grown and everything. I said, we need to talk to you about something. We want you. You know we love you. I know you love us, Pastor. And I know you want to, you know we want to help you. We want you to succeed in life, don't you? I know that. Then we want to talk to you about a personal hygiene issue. And you know what? Instead of getting mad, he says, he looked at us and said, now listen, this is why we got to understand. He looked at us and Pastor Doug pulled out, he had a toothbrush and toothpaste. And we laugh at that. But you know what the person said? I ain't got one. I don't have one, Pastor Chris. He took it that day and began to use it. Then he got blessed with teeth. I'm saying those things, church, because we got to help people. We got to love one another. And sometimes love confronts difficult situations, but you got to do it with wisdom. We didn't just barge in one day. Pastor Doug and I said, you know, we met, we talked and said, how can we help this brother? We realized we could run him out of the church by just talking about, you know, hey, have you thought about brushing your teeth? And of course, that's not the way we said it. But he was thankful. You know what? I really believe that when we do things the right way, or our heart's right, the right way. Everybody may not take it the right way, but if we really do it the right way, God will honor that. And most people will realize that you're trying to love them and you're trying to help them. You know, a message like this sometimes feels like, you know, the pastor stepped on my toes, kicked me in the shin and that kind of stuff, because, you know, but really I'm trying to help us. Because I don't want us to be turned over to the tormentors. I also don't want you to let the devil, which you have asked God to forgive you for, to let you still walk in condemnation about that, because it's under the blood. You're going to have to learn to resist him, and you're going to have to learn to say no to the devil. And one way you can do that is after you resist him, say, no, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I'm a forgiver and a forgetter of those things. The devil says, well, let me remind you about that. Say, oh, devil, let me remind you. I've chosen to forget about that. So it's no need to bring that back up about that person. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's lift our hands and thank God. I hope this has helped us. It didn't hurt us, did it?